I want you to know that this morning I actually humbled myself. Some of you think that's impossible, but I did. Initially, we were just going to sing that song, and I was going to sing with him. And then I walked up and picked up his tailor, which, you know, I'm an ovation guy. You know, I like the ovation, but I played his tailor, so I want you to know I humbled myself this morning. Humbled. And then his comment is, you mean you wanted to play a real guitar, one that wasn't plastic? Yeah. You don't play any guitar. You play a keyboard. Where does that fit in? Come on. I mean, you can't get that, you know, anyway. Just saying. I know. Isn't that amazing? Couple of announcements just real quick. We have a need for a bed. A person moving into a house needs a bed. It can be of any size, not a king size, but if you have, so if you have a bed that you got sitting in the garage, or if you don't like your kids and you want them to move out and you want to get rid of their bed, you let Mike Strong know, because we're looking for a bed. And so just Mike's back in the back, but we would like to be able to provide that as well. Also, we were introduced to a ministry on our trip to Appalachia in Kentucky about Dress a Girl, and it's amazing. I mean, it really is an amazing ministry. Some of you probably looked it up online. Is it Dress a Girl Online? Is that what it is? Girl? Okay, yeah, whatever. There's a meeting on the 17th, right, at your house, Erica's house. There's a newsletter in the back. Marva and Eric are heading it up, and you don't have to know how to sew. You can just come, but gals, it's just a great, great ministry, a super ministry. So there's an introductory meeting on the 17th, and there's information in the newsletter. You can look that up and go from there. Now, this morning, some of you have already come to that understanding that I'm wearing black and orange. Yeah, so all you Giants fans, it's not, you could say maybe it's because I'm a Giants fan. But if you know me, you know I'm not. But I'm also bi. You know, I'm not against them. I want them to win because the A's aren't in it. But you know, it's okay. Some of you would say that, okay, well, you're wearing the orange and because it's Halloween, orange and black, and you look like the giant pumpkin in black cape or something. Okay, that would work too. But the reality is, some weeks ago I wore this, and I mean months ago now, and I wore it, and I told you I can wear what I want to wear. I can dress myself. I will wear what I want to wear, especially when my wife's gone and she's not there to say, you're not wearing that. And because a number of months ago she was gone, and I wore my orange shirt because orange is my favorite color. But today I wear this really just to keep harmony in my house because my wife is a Giants fan. And so all of you who think that he's wearing it for the Giants, I'm not. I'm wearing it for my wife. But today is the only day she'll let me do that because the Giants are good enough. Is that what you said? Oh, my gosh. That's a good reason, isn't it? You know, they say that first off, you're not here by mistake today. You're here by design. Whatever you thought brought you here, you're here because God wants you here. I failed to say that last service, and somebody brought it to my attention. You didn't say it. And so I want to say it again because we are here. It has nothing to do with really what I'm going to say. It's all about him. And I know that there are some here this morning that are really struggling. And I know because of what you're struggling with that perhaps my message today, the theme of my message, may not hit you with what you're struggling at today. And that's okay. Because I know my God who's here will meet the need of your heart today, whether I say anything about it or not. It may be through the words of the song. It may be through the singing itself. It may be through a hug of somebody. It could be any various items and ways that you will feel like God met your need. And it may just be in the quietness of a corporate worship service as you sit here in the next few moments. But you're here by design today and not by mistake. People say there's two things that are for sure. Death and taxes. Death and taxes. And yet I think there's another thing that is for sure that we have a certainty of, and that is the certainty of change. That change is going to come. It just happens in our life. You can't stop it, no matter what you try. Look how things have changed, even in your mind. In your mind right now, what are some of the greatest changes you've seen in your lifetime, be it from a student all the way to an adult or to a senior? Look at the changes that have taken place around us and in us and all the things about us. The changes. I was looking and thinking through this, just even some of the communication processes. I mean, the mail. It used to be horse, Pony Express. We take the mail, we ride it, and it takes days and weeks. And then there became the office where they would drop it at the office and you'd go to the post office and get your mail. And then there was the person, the carrier, would put his sack on and walk around and drop the mail. Then they had their little wagon and their carts and all the kinds of things. Remember the old push carts that they would walk your streets with the push carts? Now there's trucks and all that. And now, really, that's almost obsolete in a sense, because now we have the computer. And in the computer, it's like someplace out in cyberspace. I just mailed it to 14 million people just like that. And you think, wow, look at the mail process of what's going on. The phone, do you remember some of you, probably none of us, but we'll at least see it in an antique store, they crank it up, you crank up the phone, you crank it up, and Peggy, do you remember, you better not answer, okay, don't answer that, Peggy, but the crank it phone, oh, you didn't have one, did you? No, the crank it up phone, and you crank it up and you talk into it, and then there was the dial it up phone, where you dial it and you, and you know, the actual dial, yeah, you forgot that sound, huh? The dial-it-up phone, and then there was the link-it-up. Now, said, do I have a cell? Do I have a cell? Do I have a cell? You know, and you're looking, you're trying to get the bars, you scan right, you know, and you know, all the cell. And now you go from speaking on the phone to speaking to the phone. It's absolutely crazy. A couple weeks ago, I had to get a new phone. I got an iPhone. I was sitting out at the Gaines. Amy said, "Hey, do you know what this phone does?" Amy, that's a dumb question. You know I don't know what this phone does. I don't think about this phone. She grabbed the phone. And as Amy does, she knows all about that phone. And now she says, "Hey, just talk to it. Tell it what you want it to do." "What? Just tell it what you want to do, and it's going to do it. Get out of here." I say, "Okay, let's just do this. Set an alarm in 5 minutes." "Okay, great." 5 minutes, the alarm goes off on my phone. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding. Let me have that phone back, Amy. Amy, give it a hand. Transfer $5,000 to my account. You know. That phone doesn't do everything, by the way. You know. Yeah, maybe if I put your name in it, transfer $5,000 from Chuck's account to my account, maybe it would work. But it didn't do that. And now even that, in some sense of communication, you got Skype and you got FaceTime and you can go around the world and be talking to somebody around the world looking at their face. I mean, Amber, my adopted daughter, I mean, she goes to Germany, she's singing and whatever, in Finland, and next thing I know, I'm looking at her right there. We're talking, you know, we're just talking right there. Amazing to me. The changes. Look at the medical advances that have taken place. I mean, just in medicine alone, the things that they can do and the things they can discover and the brilliancy of that. Transportation advances from the horse and buggy to the horse to now the cars and what cars will do and everything else. It's amazing to me. And the military advances of armament and what they can, just the technology of what you can see and see through and hear through and all those kind of things. It's an amazing process. An amazing process. And yet, even within that, some people drag their feet in change. Only when forced upon us do we say, okay, some people, not everybody, some people embrace change, but some people, they just don't like change, man. Oh, don't change. Don't change. Don't, please don't. We get comfortable with it. And then when they have to change, because your phone, they don't make any more of that, and they won't take your pulse dialing. The issue is, okay, now I guess I got to change phones. But pretty soon you come to like that new phone. You kind of like that new cordless phone. Then you may even like a cell phone. And now you say, how did I live without it? But don't bring on the next one because I want to make a change. And if your phone battery dies and their phone dies, I got to get a new phone. Oh, no, I got to learn the learning curve. We just don't like change. But everything changes. And folks, it must. It must. Physically. The physical changes in a life. You want changes in a life. You want them to grow. If we have a child, you want that child to grow. You want that child to become healthy. If it doesn't grow, it's not healthy. So a healthy child grows. You want the change in the child. As you get older, we don't want some of the changes that come along with it. But guess what? Good luck trying to stop it. It just happens, some of the changes in our life. And we can fight against it. There's a whole host of companies that are trying to say, don't grow old, don't grow old, don't grow old, and use this, you won't grow old. Guess what? You're investing in a losing battle, I hate to tell you. Because we all grow old. We all, the changes that take place. But not just physically, spiritually. When you come to know Christ today, and you gave your life to Christ, you entered into a relationship that foundation that which is change. 2 Corinthians, when you're a new creation, you are changed. When you give your life to Christ, you are changed completely. And changes from that moment on. It is not like, okay, it's not one and done, man. You've changed your nature. But he says, I'm going to conform you to the image of Christ. I'm going to build a greater horizon. I'm going to change your life. And we're in personally, as we come to know Christ, we will change. And hopefully our attitudes and the fruit of the Spirit in our life will be seen differently. And people will see that us changing. Our homes will change. Our relationships will change. But not just personally, but corporately, the issue of change. As a church must change. It has to change, as uncomfortable as some of you feel with that. A lack of change is unhealthy in any area, whether it be physically, spiritually, corporally, personally. The issue is when you don't change, something's done, something's dying. Now, it doesn't mean change is easy. Understand that. And it doesn't even mean change is wanted. That's one of the lessons I learned even as a pastor, is that when people come and say, yeah, I need to change. See, my style is I'm an optimist, I guess. And I look at change and I embrace it. Bring it on. Let's go. And so when I hear somebody say, you know what, I need to change, I made the false assumption of saying when they say they need to change, that means they want to. That was a wrong assumption for me to make. Because you can need to change and know you need to change, but that doesn't mean you're going to embrace it to change. The certainty of change in our life, we've got to change. And within that process, last week, I shared last Sunday night at the event with our life groups that I had a God moment last week. And that God moment really was produced by my granddaughter, Emery, as we sat down here in the front. And it's just as I sat there, we were singing, and there was a song that she knew. She knew the line, the meter of it, but she didn't have all the lyrics down, and it was, I will praise you in the storm. And so I would hear her as she sits by me, and I put my arm around her, and she's a millisecond behind. She was trying to guess the words. I will praise you. So as we were singing, I will praise you, I will pray, 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 praise, you know, she was trying to sing it. So I leaned over and I started feeding her the words. And she starts singing. So line by line, I will praise you in the storm. And I will lift. And she starts singing. She lifted her little hand. I thought, what a God moment as a grandpa, as a poppy, to sit there and to hear her sing. Man, I thought to myself, this is a God moment. I would love for this to stay forever, just like this. And as soon as I had that thought, I thought, no way. No way. That would be selfish of me, because I want her to have her own song, to sing her own words, to raise and to be able not to be fed by me, but to worship her God. I want her to grow. I want her to have her own faith. I want her to come to know Jesus. I want her to be that, to have that song. And if I kept her right there, that would be unhealthy. And yet, boy, so it would be selfish of me to say, oh, I want to have little Emery at 6 years old who Poppy forever is feeding the words. No. And we must change. It's healthy to change, to seek change. And over the next few weeks, I want to grab some glimpses out of the life of an Old Testament character named Joshua. And as we look at Joshua, you talk about change. Holy cow, this guy was walking into change. He was walking into a whole host of change. I want to read Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. And as we read Joshua chapter 1, if you have your Bible, you can turn to it and read it along with me. As you in your mind, or you can look on the screen and to go from there. Part of old age is that right now that screen is looking kind of brilliant in the back to me. So I'm going to read it right from the Word. Imagine that. But I want you to hear about Joshua and the changes that it brought. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river to the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be able to careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The issue of Joshua here. Joshua is really has been in the whole sense really sitting beside Moses as he led. Some this one NIV says he was Moses' aide. Some will say that he was his servant. Either way, he really was in the shadows. And when Moses died, the word of the Lord came to Joshua saying, "Come out of the shadows. You're coming out from the shadows. Standing behind, being second in the scene is going to end." And in that, Joshua being his in that, I'm sure he saw what Moses was doing, saw how he did. But I wonder, as Moses, as he first died, when Moses first passed away and Joshua was standing there, I wonder if he thought, oh man, what's my job going to be now? Before God came to him and said, you're going to lead. There was no assumption of that. He didn't know that. I wonder if, job security just went, what am I going to be doing now? Who's going to rise up and lead? And all the things that could have come in Moses' head, of Joshua's head, who's going to do this? And then Joshua is told by God, you're going to do it. It's time to come out from the shadows. You need to take the challenge and responsibility. And he may have been comfortable, quite frankly. Joshua was probably very comfortable with the position that he had, don't you think? He knew what he was to do. He knew what he wasn't to do. He knew who to call, make things happen, being the second. And he also knew that the buck stopped with Moses, didn't stop with him. So really, he could kind of deflect and, Moses is walking into this one. He's going to have to really catch it, but I'm kind of the second. I'm just his aide right now. You know, do your thing. But I wonder what he was thinking. Man, he could have been comfortable, and all of a sudden, Moses is dead. Now what? There was going to be change. I don't know if he knew that the change was going to be in him. And God came and said, Moses, Joshua, get up and get going. And yet in that whole process, he restated to Joshua the promise. And it was his promise. The land, remember that Joshua scoped out? He went out with Caleb and the spies, and they looked at all of the process of that. Let me have that water here. He looked at all the land, and he said, you know, he and Caleb came back and said, yeah, we're going to take the land. We're going to go. And yet the people, no, the others, I know, we better not do it. They're real big over there. They're giant guys. They're giants, man. We can't go in there. And so they wandered around for 40 years. Excuse me. The pause that refreshes. You too, I'm sure. And he said, this is the promise. You're going to own this land. Look across the Jordan River. I made this promise to Moses, to the people of Israel, and you're about to take it. Look across there. But it wasn't just looking. He says, Joshua, this is the promise, but I need your feet. He says, every place you go, every place that your Birkenstock takes you, you're going to have. It's the land you're going to own. It's great to sit on this side of the Jordan and say, yeah, that's our promised land. Somebody's going to go over there and take that, but not me. And yet he came to Joshua and said, Joshua, get up, lace on your sandals, and go take the land. Get up and get going. Take the land. And that promise, get up, the very soles of your feet are going to walk on the land that I've given you. He was stepping out in trust. He was stepping out in faith. He hadn't seen that whole land. Listen, there were still the very same people that he went and spied out years earlier. You remember? And the other spies said, no, giants in the land. We can't take them. They're still there. They're still there in the land. There were still battles to be fought. There were still people to be displaced who called that their home. And yet God, out of his mercy and for no other reason than we know that God chose Israel to be his chosen people. And to this day, God chooses Israel to be his chosen people. In the very same way, he said, this is your land, and I'm choosing this land for you to have. And they were saying, you're going to take it. But Joshua, you have to get up your feet, and you have to go. You have to walk. It needs to be yours. And so he said, it takes your responsibility. It says, look, it's one thing to have vision. It's one thing to look across the Jordan and say, oh, yeah, look at that land. That's our land. That's our land over there. That's our land. But I'm staying on this side of the Jordan. We talk a lot about vision statements. Most of you know, Jeff, this is when you say amen. Most of you know that in some ways, I'm not the normal pastor.
Yay!
Yeah, okay. Yay or amen. I don't know where that goes. And I just do things a little differently, and some of you are well aware of that. But man, you hear these churches, and you hear there's conferences on vision and purpose statements. And I'm just a little weird. Yeah. And the issue of that is I think a lot is said about them. Your company have them, a vision statement, a job statement. Churches spend weeks and weeks and infighting about coming up with a purpose statement for their church. I think that's foolish. Now, some of you are in school. Some of you are taking Bible classes now, and you're saying, we have to have a purpose statement for. And our staff, because I'm a guy on staff, the younger guys, they still do a lot with this vision and purpose. And it's fine. It's fine. It looks good on the letterhead. It really does. And businesses need it. But in the church, that letterhead and that statement of purpose better be very, very fluid. Because your vision and the issues of what bring us here may change. In fact, it will change. It will change. Might gain in the very back row back here. If I asked Mike Gaines 12 years ago, if the vision statement, no matter what I put on the letterhead, if that letterhead 10, 12 years ago said, we'd be here today, he'd be saying, we don't know that. We don't know. We wouldn't see any of this. We had vision, none of this. Had no clue. And yet we have all these vision statements. And Joshua could have sat on the other side of Jordan and said, we need to take another 40 years to determine the vision statement across the Jordan and taking these people and the Hittites and who's going where. Man, they're all good talking points. But maybe they should just say, listen, maybe our vision statement today, even on our life, should be, God, you lead and I will follow. Maybe that's the vision statement we need. God, you just lead and I'm going to get out of the way and I'm going to follow you. Maybe the vision statement that we need as people in the church is, God, you challenge me and I'm going to rise. You lay the bar ahead, I'm going to rise. You say get up, okay, put my sandals on, we're going to go. The vision statement may need to be, God, you send and I will follow. You send and I'm leading, I'm going. But we have all these fancy things. And it came to Joshua and says, Joshua, you need to get up. That's the land, but guess what? Put your Birkenstocks on because you got to walk across the Jordan and lay all this out. And let me just tell you something. In the process, we didn't read it here, but you can go on to verse 11 and down, and Joshua did just that. He wasn't Moses. He was Joshua. But he started walking across this. Okay, God, you gave me a challenge. Here I go. And he starts saying, you people are going here. You people are going there. You people are going to be warriors. And the families are going to stay here on this side of the Jordan while you go fight. And when you get that land conquered, you're going to come back and get your families. But you're going to be fighting right now. He laid it out. Man, was he a dictator? Yes, he was. Woo! There's no church in the world that would follow Joshua because they always say, you're dictating what we're doing. And guess what? He was. He said, this is where you're going. In fact, we're coming up on Halloween, but you know, Joshua probably thought, I need to be the superhero servant. I mean, what cape? We have all these, you know, costumes of the superheroes. I wonder what the servant costume looks like of just being a servant, a superhero servant. Let me tell you, over and over, he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. That's fit for a superhero, isn't it? Be strong and courageous. But he's telling him to serve over and over. It is not easy to lead. Those of you, some of you are leaders of companies. Some of you are leaders of people. And it is not easy to lead. There is a weight in leadership that only those people in leadership will understand. I fully am aware, I don't care what your political persuasion is, I'm fully aware that you nor I will ever understand the weight of responsibility upon the President of the United States. Ever. That's why we are instructed to pray for our leaders. The only people who will understand the weight of that office are those who have been in that office. We can sit on this side of it and say, oh man, I bet it's tough. Yes, but we'll never understand it. Man, when I was a youth pastor for many years and all that, I thought I understood the pressures of ministry and the pressures of the pastor and the pressures of the senior. I thought I really, you know, then as an associate in working in adults, I thought, boy, I really understand what this is all about and I understand what's happening here. But let me just tell you, you don't know the responsibility of leadership and the weight of that until you're there. And sometimes leadership is lonely. And guess what? Sometimes leadership is at the point, whether it's in a business or whether it's in a church, is the challenge is to be strong and courageous. It's not time to set back. It's time to say, be strong and know what God has called you to do and where you're to go. Man, he was following Moses. Can you imagine? Those are big shoes to fill, aren't they? I imagine he heard, you're not Moses. And he probably said, yeah, you're right. I'm not Moses. I'm Joshua. Joshua was the leader, not Moses. He was different, I'm sure, in the way he led. Different, but it didn't make it wrong. There was a change in the leadership that was coming. There was a change with Joshua. And as with Moses, in this point, Joshua had to realize as they laid Moses to rest, there's a point that you understand that leaders don't lead forever. Their roles will change. Things will change. New leaders arise. New people arise. My goal since we've ever started is to replicate people to lead, to replicate people to take ministry. I mean, I have to deal with in my own life as I, you know, I don't think I'm over the hill yet, but I understand the church has to change. And in my own life, I ask the question, hopefully between godly men around me and my own life, when is it time for me to say, God, I'm stepping aside for someone else? Now, unfortunately, for some of you, I'm not doing that yet. Aww. There you go. Okay. But the reality is to be consciously aware that, well, we've always done it this way. Okay. But to say, God, there may be a time for a new leader. There may be time for a new area, for a new campaign for something to change. And it's this question to say, God, to continue to pursue God, someday change, to continue that process, to challenge courageously, to speak to the generation at that time. The reality is there may come a time when I can't communicate to the generation at that time, to the generation that needs to be challenged. And to have the wisdom to know when that is and to know how to do that and what to do that. But the point is, Joshua was taking a huge responsibility and a huge weight because Moses and all those expectations were placed upon him. But all along the way, the word kept saying, focus, focus, focus. Because what he was focusing on wasn't really the campaign. In fact, the focus on here was, listen, you take the law of the word of God and you meditate on it day and night. Day and night. You let it infiltrate your mind and infiltrate. He says, you meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous, and then you will be successful. Isn't it interesting? You're going to go to the land, you're going to fight, cross the River Jordan, all that kind of stuff. You're going to fight. That's not what was going to make him successful or prosperous. It was being in the Word and having your mind transformed and your life transformed and changed by the Word so that the very words of your mouth become the Word. That you speak Jesus. You speak God. And he says, focus on that. It's kind of like, hurry up and wait. Here's the plan. Here's the battle plan. Now let's wait and really see what God has for us. And then to move within God's timing. Seek and following God. That is success. I think we need to learn that. Students, listen, you need to learn that if you want to be prosperous and really be successful, it's not about who you run with. It's not about how popular you are on campus. It's not giving in to the peer pressure. It's not how big an athlete you are or musician you are. If you want to be successful and prosperous, listen to this. It's that you know, understand, and you seek God. That's what will make you significant, is that you know and you seek God, to pursue and consider God. And we as adults as well, what makes us significant? Oh, we can go for work, we can do all the things that we think make us significant, but it's when we seek God, that's where success and prosperity come from. It may not be as safe, as comfortable as some might be, but that may be the way God has for us. Step out, but with the word in your mouth. And yet over and over again, all the way through, he gives us that eternal promise, I will be with you. I will be with you, that eternal promise. I'm never going to leave you, Joshua. No matter what battle comes, I'm with you. I'm going to be with you. And we have that promise today. As a kid, and I know some, I still see it even in schools with little kids. Did you ever play that game, Follow the Leader? You know, just follow the leader. You see it now if you walk on some of these campuses, you see with kids, follow the leader. And you teachers, we got a bunch of teachers in here. I'm sure you all use that, get in line, follow, okay. So-and-so's a line leader today, so follow little Johnny, because Johnny's a line leader. And then they say, Johnny, lead us back to class or to the cafeteria or whatever. And they do it just, and I'd be the type to say, Johnny, now's the time to be creative, honey. So you're the line leader today, but we're going to follow you whatever way you do. So if you're hopping, we're hopping. If you're skipping, we're skipping. If you're playing the airplane, we're going to play the airplane. But we want them to walk in that little form to get back to class. Follow the leader. Well, in this passage, they had a choice. That choice was to follow the leader. Joshua 1, 16 to 18. He talks about following that leader. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Follow the leader. Joshua was the leader. I think in this passage he really laid out some things. He says, don't get discouraged because leadership can be discouraging. Don't become timid and weak because that would be an option to be timid and weak. He says, all these things, be strong and courageous. Don't get discouraged. He says, follow the leader. And they said, we are going to follow. Man, I appreciate in our church those people who follow. I appreciate those people who say, you know what, God, we're going to trust God and change. And it may be uncomfortable, but we're going to change. Last week, even at Life Group, there were those who said, oh, I got changed. And I don't, you know, and maybe tears and maybe, oh. And yet, for the most part, people say, you know what, God, if that's where you want me to be, if that's where you want me to invest, that's where I'm going. That's what I'm going to do. Some of you need to take that step and say, I'm going to jump into life groups and say, man, this is where I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to invest. To embrace that. I wish right there is where we would end this passage. Follow the leader. But there's two words that also come up at the end of that passage. And the two words really Bill Barnett's view of two words, but it's there, is follow the leader or not. You don't have to. Now, in Joshua's time, what a great superhero power to have. But the people were saying, we're going to follow you. We're going to follow you, Joshua. God's placed you there. You're a human, but God's placed you there. We're going to follow you. And those who don't, gone. I don't know if a lightning bolt was going to come down from heaven. I don't know. But the reality is they were saying, we're going to follow you. And those who don't want to follow, guess what? TikTok game is locked. See ya. And I think within that, there's a warning for people to say, listen, leadership isn't easy. Following God and leading God's people isn't easy. And so we pray for those who are leading. And we pray for those who are striving. And we follow. And the majority of our church by far, this is the greatest church that I've ever been involved in seeing people who follow. But from the pastor's heart here, and I pray I'm not harsh. I asked Pastor Ben, I asked some who sat in the first service, but listen to me. You do not have to agree with me. You do not have to even agree with the direction of our church. But I got to tell you from my pastor's heart here, if you don't respect the leadership that God's placed here, if you don't respect the DNA of who we are, of life groups, and that's our foundation, if you don't respect the direction that you feel like our board and this staff feels we're going, you do not have to agree with it. You have that freedom. I totally give and understand that freedom. But there is this. You need to be quiet. Now, I'm not addressing anything. Don't think, uh-oh, what's gone on? Nothing's gone on. I'm just saying this is Joshua right here. This is the word. So I'm not responding to anybody this last week who said, oh, Bill's mad at somebody. No, nothing happened. In fact, it's been a great week, Adrian. God is blessed. We're seeing things in Tracy. We're seeing Pastor Ben become Pastor Ben and Tracy. We're seeing all these things as we birth a church. But in this passage, do you understand that they're saying God has led Joshua to lead the people, and if they don't want to follow, guess what? Bam, you're going to be done. Now, I don't want to say that. I can't say that because I'm not Joshua, and we're not in that economy. But the New Testament is very clear. You don't have to like me. You don't have to like the church. I don't know why you want to come if you don't, but that's okay. Maybe it's just Ben and Paul. I don't know. But you're here. But the point is there is the connection that says, listen, if you don't agree, at least be quiet. Do not cause dissension. Don't cause division. But maybe you need to go where your heart can be fully engaged. I would want that. I would want to go to a church that I could be fully engaged in. Now, please, I don't want anybody to leave. So don't walk out here saying, oh, he's mad. No, I'm not mad. I don't get mad that easy. But none of that. But I understand in this the principle here is that leadership, Joshua is going to lead. And guess what? He was not going to answer to his distractions and his detractors. He was going to lead. And folks, we see where God's taking us. Not all the way out there. It may only be tomorrow. But we're saying, God, you challenge us, we'll rise. We want to follow. We want to be there. And I want to commend this because this church is by far the very best church I have ever served with and had the privilege of serving with people who say, you know what, Bill, you're crazier than a bed bug and I don't exactly know what you're thinking, but let's go. Let's go. And sometimes I don't know where I'm going tomorrow. But you say, God, you place us here. Pastor Ben's going to be birthing a church. We as a church are sending Pastor Ben and those people there. Is it going to be Joshua saying, people over there saying, well, Bill didn't do it this way? No, because Bill didn't do it that way. But it's not Bill over there. It's Pastor Ben. It's Joshua. I'm not going to serve the same way, lead the same way. And those people there will say, guess what? Ben, you lead, we'll follow. You raise the bar, and we're going to rise to it. You challenge, and we will go. Why do I know that? Because that's what you people do here. We challenge, and you say, let's go. We have a great Jordan to cross. You know what that Jordan is? Interstate 5. And we're going to go across Interstate 5, and we're claiming some more land. And we're going to say, God, make us have a ministry there. Impact those people there. And some of you are going to hate change. I got to change this. I may have to go a different way to church. I may have to drive. I may have to die. Yeah, yeah. Guess what? God's going to bless that. God's going to bless that. Joshua said, let's go. He got up and they went. I'm excited Because as they crossed the Jordan, they took the land God promised them. As we stay, God, whatever you lead us, let us go. Let us go. Let's pray. Father, this morning I pray that most of all, that my words have not been harsh or with intent of harsh. But from the pastor's heart, God, I want people to go to a church that they feel like they can be engaged in. And yet biblically the admonition is, we must change. We will change. And we will embrace that. And we will look for new opportunities to serve, new ways to serve, new people to serve. I pray for those who are here, some need to rise up and serve and rise up and say, God, you have called me. I want to do this, whatever it may be. God, I am thankful for this church. We have some superhero servants in this church. I am thankful for that. This church is a blessing to work with these people because for the most part, it's like unlike any other church. There's such a good spirit of let's go. Let's challenge and we'll follow. God, I pray that as we go in the days ahead, as we look even to January 6th where we see the birth of another church, that God, you will excite us, you will enthuse us. God, that you'll continue to prepare the hearts of those who will be leading there. God, that as we cross that Jordan of I-5, as we go to plant there, God, that we will see the fruition of all that you would want us to be. God, help us to embrace change, to look at change, and not to dig our heels in the sand. God, may we never do anything tomorrow the same way we did today. May we constantly be in change. Thank you for making the biggest change in us, that we are new creations. The old is gone, the new has come. May we live in the wonder of knowing you. Thank you for this day. In your son's name we pray. Amen.